back to throw. Fitzpatrick throwing high into the air.
Got it.
Parker, touchdown.
What a win for this Miami Dolphin team. Wow.
What is up, Dolphins, and welcome to the Drive Time Podcast, part of the Miami Dolphins official podcast network, covering your team, your Miami Dolphins, each and every day. How's it going, everybody? It is Tuesday. I am your host, Travis Wingfield, and I am here to bring you your daily dose of Miami Dolphins football. And on today's show, the All-22 has been ran back, digested, and my notes are now on the show notes. We'll break down the offensive and defensive tape, take a look at the snap counts, team stats, and advanced metrics from the individuals, and we'll hear from the Dolphins coordinators and offensive assistants. A busy, busy show, and let's not waste any more time getting to all of that and more on this Tuesday, October the 20th edition of the Drive Time Podcast.
That's another Miami Dolphins.
Drive Time is brought to you by AutoNation. There are so many reasons to drive pink, but for AutoNation, there's only one: to finish the fight against cancer. In fact, AutoNation has helped raise over $25 million to drive out cancer. To join the fight, visit the AutoNation store near you or drivepink.com. We have all 22 to look at here with the Jets today. Let's go ahead and jump right in on the offensive side of the football. For the Dolphins, 24-0 win over the New York Jets, the Week 6 All-22. And we start kind of chronologically taking a look at what happened first, or I guess in order of how I saw the plays play out. But we start first, as we do every time on the All-22 review, with Chan Gailey. And there was just one play that I noted down, the touchdown pass to Adam Shaheen, where you basically have two defenders. The Dolphins have to find a way to move out of that spot where he was running, a cornerback and an outside linebacker slash defensive end. And Shaheen fakes a block at that defensive end slash edge player and gets around him. And the corner is cleared because of Preston Williams really doing a good job selling his slant route inside, which chases the cornerback inside as well to create that open space, a room service touchdown. You have to love it when you get that from the design of your offense. Up next, the notes with Solomon Kinley. And we talked about this with John Kinjemi on the Sunday Recap podcast about the counter draw and Solomon Kinley getting to that second level. And on the first play of the game, you see it right away. He climbs up on Neville Hewitt, engages him, and drives him right through the whistle. And you can kind of see Hewitt get frustrated a little bit because Kinley hung onto the block the entire time. Then a few plays later, he plays pull side and wipes out a forced defender to create a gap on a 15-yard run. And he just buries him and lays on top of the body to keep him out of the play. Very good block there from Solomon Kinley. There's a play later on where the defensive end crashes across Robert Hunt's face over at the right tackle spot. And Solomon Kinley sees him coming and goes and gets him and initiates the contact. And it completely stuns the rush of the defensive end and stops him right there in the tracks. And then on Fitzpatrick's last drive, Durham Smythe kind of gets hung up a little bit coming across the formation on the right tackle on Robert Hunt, and it forces Gaskin to bubble and try to find a new gap, and he picks a gap behind Solomon Kinley, who was just glued to his block. So the way he stays on blocks has been a lot of fun to watch. We talked about Durham Smythe a little bit. On the same first play I mentioned, the play side pull from Solomon Kinley, Smythe is the second one through the hole there, and he climbs, turns, latches, and seals that thing off. A really impressive work, something you pretty much get used to seeing with Durham Smythe, to create a huge hole for Myles Gaskin. And then it's really cool to see him get rewarded there with the touchdown catch after the Adam Shaheen reception. A little bit of a delayed release, goes into the flat. Really easy pitch and catch. Another one there from Chan Gailey. Fitzpatrick, the passer of those three touchdown passes. The first incompletion of the game, I thought, was really good recognition by both he and Isaiah Ford. The Jets throw a cat blitz, a corner blitz, in there. So Ford just hooks up in front of the safety, who kind of fills that spot where the cornerback blitzed, and then Parker runs a dig right behind that, and Fitzpatrick is on target and on time, and he kind of sees what Ford did to pull that safety out of the passing lane, and then the DB just kind of comes through Parker and makes an impact on the catch. So good defense, but I love the recognition of the quarterback there, as well as Parker and Isaiah Ford. And then later on, Fitzpatrick does what he does. Vintage Fitzpatrick, doesn't even surprise you anymore. Throws a lead block on Myles Gaskin's 11-yard run, and it's an effective block too, not one of those just get in the way plays. I also thought Fitz did a good job of taking what the defense gave him. There was a play where there was two safeties widening out to the perimeter of the field with a middle linebacker running right down the middle of the pipe, and Fitz just kind of lets that thing play out, let them clear out, and then dumps it down to Matt Breida for a gain of 10. Taking what the defense gives you, you can make a lot of hay in this league taking what the defense gives you. On the first interception, the defender on the other side of the formation just came off of his man, came off Isaiah Ford, and got into the passing lane. Just a good play by the defense. That's going to happen sometimes. And then the left-handed flip he had to Shaheen towards the end of the game, where he gets wrapped up by the pass rusher and finds a way to get it off to Shaheen with his left hand. And it was Shaheen's man that got in there for the pressure, so he probably processed that and knew that he'd be open because that was the guy that got in there. So just a heads-up play, classic vintage Ryan Fitzpatrick. Back to the offensive line, Eric Flowers, very first play of drive number two. Quinnen Williams tries to throw a hump move on him. And if you don't know what a hump move is, basically go pull up Reggie White highlights. It's where you kind of set the offensive lineman up and then throw a big, powerful punch, and it throws the guy off balance. It's like a one-armed slap toss type of move that takes advantage of getting the offensive lineman off balance. But Williams, at 303 pounds, tries it, and it looked like one of those movies or TV shows where the main character tries to fight the much bigger guy and he throws the punch and the guy doesn't even budge. That's what Flowers looked like on that play. It bought time for Fitzpatrick to step up and dump the ball off to Gaskin for six. Just go check that play out and be really impressed and marvel about what Eric Flowers means to this offensive line. Later on, they had an 11-yard run in the red zone where he just shoves Ted Karras' man out of the club, throws him out of the club, and then climbs up to the second level and hits a block on a DB. And then later on in the game, on a screen to Miles Gaskin, he gets out in space and wins on a corner. So power inside, athletic ability outside. It's a lot of fun to watch, man. These two guards are fun to watch every single week on the All-22. Out at right tackle, Robert Hunt, second drive, 11-yard play. He closes down the backside edge at the second level and creates a big lane by getting to that second level. Again, another one of these guys that's big and can move. Both Kinley and Karras wipe a dude out on a double team, and Lynn Bowden gets a chip off the edge to seal it up for Miles Gaskin. Plenty of blocks in this game, where there was just four or five really well-executed blocks to help create lanes. And then later on in the game, Robert Hunt has a tough ask out at right tackle against the big 94 player, Fatakusi, and does such a good job of staying on the block despite a big pop from the lineman. It's a 320-pound defensive tackle that tries to jar him, and he just stays glued to that block. Really good work there from Robert Hunt. Miles Gaskin, man, this guy, same thing we saw at UW pretty routinely. He eyes the play side and presses that mesh point, the handoff point with the quarterback, and you kind of see linebackers step up to fill the direction he's going, and then right once he sees that, he's out the back door. Again, exactly what he did at Washington. He has a 7-yard run in the third quarter with a strong counter action, and then he winds it backside where he has both Kinley and Smythe pulling backside, and he sticks his foot in the ground and gets behind those blocks, and just got a great block on the edge as well from Preston Williams. Guy has such good vision. Fun to watch him run back there. Adam Shaheen, all the notes first for these guys we've been talking about are run plays, because those first couple of drives, there were so many successful running plays with big gaps created, and he was just the next guy in line here on a Gaskin run from the Jets 9 down to the Jets 4, where he seals off the edge and gets that big block to create that space. Then on the 43-yarder, you can't know this for sure ever because you don't know the calls, but it looks like an absolute bust on the coverage. I talked about the two safety look where they try to widen out and the linebacker runs the pipe, a classic Tampa 2 defense, right? The same look here, only this time the linebacker doesn't run the lane, and Shaheen gets between both those safeties who widen out on the field, and there's a huge vacancy in the middle of the football field. He sees it immediately, gets his hand up, and Fitzpatrick, of course, you know he sees that, and so it's a perfect play for 43 yards. He just missed getting into the end zone on that one too. Ted Karras, I thought his pass pro was just super solid. We talked about the no pressures allowed all game long. The very first note I had was a one technique, a guy that lines up on the outside shoulder of the center trying to cross face on Ted, and he kept his feet active, didn't get dead feet on the play, had good hand placement, and just walled off the rush entirely. Very good look, good winning formula there. The cut block on the Miles Gaskin screen out in space, I tweeted about it. Whew, that's a fun play to watch. He's outflanked by a defensive back, and he still gets out there and gets him to the ground. A huge block from Ted Karras. Later in the game, I put a note down that he moved a man a full gap on Gaskin's opening 5-yard run of the second half. He just really got good push all game long. Good game here for Ted Karras. And just going back to Robert Hunt here real quick, I had a rogue note. Speaking of those active feet, Hunt had a pass rush anchor where he really kind of stepped into the anchor and sunk into it very nicely. And I think, again, it goes back to these guys all being such big human beings that have really good feet. And that's just a combination that I think is a winning formula at this level, at this league, with all these athletic pass rushers in the league you have today. Jesse Davis on the second drive had a really nice block off the edge where he basically walks the end two gaps inside on Miles Gaskin's 9-yard run, the same one where he got face masked. So 24 yards, a big pickup there for the Dolphins running behind Jesse Davis. Preston Williams, the receivers now on the touchdown catch. He's got inside leverage, the cornerback does, where he's lined up on the inside shoulder at the snap. And then Preston kind of sells a fade look, like a route to the back pylon. John Kangemi talked about this with me yet on the Sunday show, where he sells the fade takeoff and he looks back to the quarterback. And so the defensive back drives on that, and right when he drives on that, Preston crosses his face at the exact same moment, and Fitzpatrick has the ball there right in time. Just a beautiful, beautiful route from Preston Williams. Jakeem Grant, we saw the punt returns, big plays galore from him. Just a great job making the first guy miss consistently. Then later in the game has a 30-yard reception, the play right before the pick at the end of the first half. And man, he's just so sudden. He's running full speed, finds a little soft spot between a trio of Jets defenders, and just slams on the brakes and shows his number to the quarterback. And of course, you know Fitz is going to find him. And then Devontae Parker, the 18-yard reception in the third quarter. Preston goes to the post. Parker runs the corner underneath and makes a really tough catch as the kind of under or overhang defender falls back into that lane and hits Devontae before he comes down to the ground. A really nice catch there from Parker to hang on in traffic and a contested catch. And the last of them all, the final play I put a note on, was the Tua completion to Jakeem Grant. Really, really good pass protection on that play. Nice job by Tua to work through the options. Both Gesicki and Ford run crossers, and from the 2 and 3 positions, the second inside and third inside position, and then Jakeem comes in behind with a little dig route, and you see the underneath linebacker kind of chase Ford inside as Tua does go across left to right, and a good looking shot there to close the game out and keep the defense off the field and preserve the Dolphins shutout. So that's your offensive film notes. Let's go ahead and move on now to the defense. And we start there under the Josh Boyer tab, as I guess I talk about the general defensive takeaways. And you've probably heard me say pick stunt about 18 times in the last 2 days. And that's because the Dolphins are getting really friggin' good at it. That 3rd and 7 stop to start the game, you've got Kamu Grugier-Hill and Jerome Baker walked up into the A-gaps. Baker crosses over the center's face, and then Frank Gore steps up to pick him up, and bang, he gets him, he hits Baker, but that frees up Grugier-Hill to scrape right around that block and get a free run at the quarterback, which forces Flacco to kind of fade away, and Byron Jones is there at the catch point for the pass breakup. I mean, the only quarterbacks are going to get away from that type of a rush and that success on that little pick stunt or a little crossdog action are the Russell Wilsons, the Patrick Mahomeses, and the Josh Allen types of the world. So great game plan once again to heat up Joe Flacco with that interior pass rush. And Flores talked about the defensive communication a lot during his Monday media availability, and I think you really saw that in this game as well. The Jets would motion to stack, and stack just means you have two receivers that are bunched up together. It tries to cause confusion in the way the defense wants to defend those two guys, and then they switch. What that means is you switch, you have the inside guy go outside, outside guy go inside after the snap, a switch release to try to cause that confusion further. And the Dolphins were not turning anybody free on those plays. They got that stuff communicated, and they would pick up the right man, or at least what I envisioned to be the right guy based on the film. They didn't ever double the same guy and leave one guy free, is what I'm trying to say. So those calls got in efficiently and looked very good. A couple more general notes here. Every deep route was headed off or doubled. Just no chance to get vertical for this Jets passing game, especially when you can consider the way the rush scheme complemented that element of the game. Just good team defense. And my favorite call, and it would turn out to be calls of the game, was all the zero coverage there. Zero blitzes at the end of the game. The 3rd and 4, the play where Ogba had a 28-yard loss sack. They go cover zero, no safeties over the top. They just man up the 3 receivers, and they went 8 on the line of scrimmage, but then you see 3 of them drop back, rush 5, but Eric Rowe blows up the running back, one of those guys that did come in, and Joe Flacco has to retreat to avoid that sack, and there's Emmanuel Ogba waiting to get him down for a huge loss, and it changed the entire complexion of that drive, knocked him out of field goal range entirely. So a big time play there from those guys. The individual notes here, Raekwon Davis up first because the very first play of the game, he's lined up at nose tackle in the bare front. You cover up the guard, you cover up the center, and he splits a double team and forces the back to bubble and cut backside and is then cleaned up. Second drive, he has a pass rush where he gets instant penetration. Later on, slides off a block on the Jets' longest drive on the second down and one play, slides off a block and makes a nice tackle on LaMichael Perine, and then later on thwarts another double team and gets in for a tackle after a three-yard run. He's starting to build some consistency getting off those double team blocks, and that could be a huge asset for this Dolphins team going forward if he continues on that trend. Eric Rowe, we talked about safety stepping up to make tackles at the second level last Tuesday on the podcast on the All-22 review, that 6 to 7 to 8 yard range where you're not going to get a lot of love because it's still a win for the offense, like 2nd and 3, 2nd and 4, that's where you want to live. But open field stops are big time no matter where they are on the football field. And Rowe scored one of those in the first play of the Jets' second drive, open field stop. The next drive, he's alone on a little misdirection throw on the underneath route where you bring the receiver across the formation, you snap it, and you throw it to him underneath the, or behind the line of scrimmage, I should say, off that jet sweep. He's there in open space once again, makes a stop, no problem for 1 yard. We'll hear more from Eric Rowe here in just 1 second. Alandon Roberts, I just wrote that he's playing so fast these last couple of days. The second drive, he scrapes in behind Raekwon, who has a nice pass rush move, and takes a short angle to Flacco with really no false steps, working forward and looping off that initial dent from Raekwon Davis without taking false steps. He puts Flacco on his back and forced a throwaway into very sticky coverage because, again, those were the deep routes. They were covered well pretty much all game. And then the Jets' opening play of the fourth drive, I just wrote this guy causes car crashes. He goes in there 100 miles an hour. There is no revving that thing down. That guy plays so fast and so hard and so physical. Emmanuel Ogba, man, there's lots of notes here for Emmanuel Ogba. The first pressure of the game out of 10 for Ogba is him looping around from the wide side off the offense's right, and then he winds up going up against the left guard. So he goes across multiple gaps and wins across the inside part of the Jets offensive line to put a hit on Flacco as he goes to throw. And then I wrote down LOL because as a three tech, he crosses face and meets the running back at the line of scrimmage for a 1 yard gain. And I just wrote the hands were ridiculous. The way he can swat guys out of his chest plate and get them off balance over their skis. His first sack, he worked upfield, kept his eyes on the quarterback, and then redirected once Flacco stepped up to get him down to the ground. Good job keeping the eyes up. Then he moves inside on the other side of the formation. So again, playing multiple positions, slips inside the left guard, uses the left arm to kind of move him to the side, and then pulls that right arm through to get in there for the tackle for loss. Then later on, a stack and shed for another 1 yard run, and then another pressure with a little bit of a shift step where he kind of takes a step left, takes a step right into the B-ish gap, and then rips underneath the block for a run on Flacco and a pressure and a throwaway. So big, big day for Emmanuel Ogba. Kamu Grugier-Hill on the second third down stop for the Dolphins. He literally did not allow a tight end to get into his route because of his jam. He just held him up there in that 5 yard window. That coverage linebacker stuff right there is a good fit for KGH, and he got it done on that play. Bobby McCain, I had a quick win inside on a tunnel screen as he beats a block to cut that thing down for a 2 yard gain, along with Eric Rowe, who also got in there. And I thought he was seeing things just flow very well. You see him flip the hips to get over the top on a post route, or on an over route rather, then flip back to get to the corner. He just had it kind of clicking in this game. And every time it looked like the Jets might get an opening downfield, there was 28 closing that thing down. I had him with an open field tackle when Frank Gore got loose at 12 yards, wide open in the open field, got him to the ground. He also made the play to preserve the shutout with a pass breakup on the Jets' last fourth down of the game. And you saw his cornerback skills there kind of coming over the top and getting that left arm in there and not turning him with the right arm on the back. So another big day for Bobby McCain. 0.0 passer rating when opposing quarterbacks target him so far this year. That's according to Pro Football Focus. Just completely ridiculous. Byron Jones, I almost said Brandon Jones. We'll get to him here in just 1 second. Byron Jones on the illegal contact penalty on Andrew Van Ginkle. He throws this devastating jam that completely dazes the receiver and just takes him completely out of the play. And that was really the only note I had on him. He was just good throughout the course of the game. Had the couple of deep tries early on in the game, was there in sticky coverage on those plays, and just really that good physical pressure up front as a press man. He can play off. He can play zone. He does a lot of stuff for this defense. He's fun to watch play football. Really, really good football player, Byron Jones. That's why you go out and you get a guy like that. Andrew Van Ginkle, I had him for a note here, flattens the edge for a stop at the line, a zero-yard gain just before the Jets' offensive pass interference. So he sets up a play, a third and two, gets to the OPI, and that pushes the Jets back out of field goal range. So you talk about those plays that set plays up. This is one of those plays here from Andrew Van Ginkle. Zach Sealer, we have several notes on him. On the fourth drive, a second down and five running play, you see the left guard's head jolt up, and it looks like the Rock'em Sock'em robots. You know, you mash the button, and you try to hit your opponent's head to pop up and win the fight. He does that. The left guard has the head pop up, walks it down the line all the way outside on a wide run, and makes the tackle for loss there. I just wrote, damn, what a play. And also on that play, Emmanuel Ogbah thwarts a double team and holds his position off the edge. So just those guys right there are playing so good these last few weeks, and so is Christian Wilkins. Talk about him here in just 1 second. Next defensive play, he gets his man turned completely around. He's got his back to him after Sealer gets done with him with a first punch and then a ridiculous follow-up to just throw him off balance. The Jets' second-to-last drive of the half, he retraces a screen and helps Jerome Baker make an open field stop there near the marker. Good job by Big to break down on the open field, and an awesome motor from Zach Sealer. He picks it right back up on the first play of the second half. They just couldn't move him in the running game. He was really difficult to get off his spot. He creates an opportunity on this play for Landon Roberts to come all the way from the other side of the formation and scrape, and that's exactly what he did. Big game for both of those guys, I thought, in this one. And then he has a pass rush chance and that same drive where he goes arm over to beat the tackle. The end tries to chip him, but it doesn't slow him down at all. And then he lays Flacco out, and the coverage downfield was perfect. They had three guys in the area of the Jets' two receivers who were in max protection, two receiver route. They had that thing blanketed up, and a good pass rush win there for Zach Sealer. Talked about Christian Wilkins on his sack. Terrific balance to scrape that thing and stay in tight to the pick that was set there from Sam McGuavin. And the center who was getting picked from McGuavin actually reaches out and grabs Christian inside the shoulder area, the kind of collarbone area, and almost pulls him down. But Christian stays on his feet and finishes the play for the big sack. He throws a big, pure power rush inside later in the game and takes the guard right into the quarterback's face, gets his hands up for a PBU, and then later on in the game does a good job to create separation between he and the offensive lineman when he reads the quarterback's eyes and gets his paws up there for his second PBU of the game. Shaq Lawson liked the way he works down the line in the running game. He kind of reads the flow of the play and can get off those blocks and make tackles in the ground game. Did that a couple times. Also had a couple pressures on Joe Flacco. And Xavien Howard, we haven't said his name yet because he just was locking his guy down, a lot like Byron Jones. But now we have to because he gets the interception here. And he goes in motion with the receiver who puts him into an outside leverage. The receiver's lined up inside of him and has free access to the inside. And I bet you he thought he had an easy win on an over route because from there, you have to outrun the cornerback. But not so fast, my friend. X sprints to the spot right in front of the over, right where the ball is supposed to be coming on that play. He's seen that. He talked about it post-game on Sunday, how he expected that play to come there because that's been a way that teams have attacked him so far. And that was just a thing of beauty, man. Gets out there, runs right in the spot, extends his arm for the pick. Big-time play there from Xavien Howard. Four straight games of the pick for Xavien Howard. And then Nick Needham, couple of notes here. Jamison Crowder tries to run a little pivot route, and Nick stays right in his hip pocket and closes that thing down for just a 1 yard gain. Really nice change of direction there. Hips and feet, like the way he moved on that play. Then he makes a good tackle coming off a block on a 3rd and 9 screen attempt. Might have gone for a first down if not for Needham, but he gets off a block and makes a stop on that play. Talked about Sam McGuavin a little bit. On the 3rd and 6 on the series after X's interception, he wins a straight outside bull rush. So I wrote that down because he impacted the game both as an A-gap rush and a wide rusher. So big game for Sam McGuavin. Jerome Baker, talked about him a little bit, had a nice play where he stacks up a double team and makes a play on the wide run off the edge. Coach Flores talks a lot about setting the edge. I thought Jerome Baker the last few games has done really nice to hold up on those blocks off the outside and then work back underneath and get an arm on the ball carrier. Sometimes bring him down, sometimes you funnel him back to help and get a tackle that way. Benito Jones checks in here in the fourth quarter, had a bull rush pressure on Joe Flacco to force an incompletion. Welcome to the NFL. And so did Brandon Jones, had a really nice TFL on a 3rd and 2 play where he reads a couple of pullers and just follows them right to the football. We talked about him playing fast in camp. Bobby McCain talked about that as well, talking about the rookie's performance and how he sees things and plays it fast. Does it here for a negative 3 yard run on 3rd and 2. And that was when Christian Wilkins leapfrogged him. And damn, he does have hops. He wasn't kidding. He definitely wants that potential pick six back though. Brandon Jones does because he played that thing beautifully and just couldn't quite squeeze it. And the last note we have here for the film is a last rep to Noah Igbinoghene, who has no help down the field on one of those cover zero calls and just runs the deep shot for the receiver to thwart that deep attempt from Joe Flacco for an incomplete pass. Good job there from the rookie. So defensive notes loaded up here. The Dolphins defense just played a hell of a football game to get the shutout, to limit the Jets to that low yardage total and propel themselves up into a high position on the defensive rankings. And with that, let's go ahead and talk now about the stats of this game, snap counts, and the Dolphins rankings on offense and defense as a conclusion here in week number 6. And some good numbers here offensively and defensively for your Miami Dolphins through 6 weeks of the NFL season. On offense, 26.7 points per game. That's 14th best in the National Football League. The 354.3 yards per game is 22nd. 249.2 passing yards is 16th in the NFL. And they average 105.2 yards on the ground. That's 22nd. That's the same ranking of the third down offense, converting 40% of third downs at 22nd best. They have 10 sacks allowed. That's tied for the 11th fewest in the National Football League. And they are 13th in first down percentage, with 32.4% of their plays resulting in a first down. On the defensive side, the scoring defense, after Arizona's good performance on Monday Night Football against the Cowboys, Miami's 18.8 points per game is fourth in the National Football League. The 360.2 yards per game is 15th, so top half the league there as well. 124.2 rushing yards per game from the opposition, that's 19th in the NFL. The pass defense allows 236 per game, that's 17th best, and the Dolphins have the number one third down defense at 31.3% conversion allowed on third downs from the opposition. So best third down defense in the NFL. They have 17 sacks, that's tied for the sixth most, and the 9 takeaways created is tied for 7th most in the National Football League. So some impressive numbers there for the Dolphins defense moving up the leaderboard in terms of NFL rank. Let's get to some other stats here from the team from the win on Sunday and some individual metrics and notable stats from Pro Football Focus and various websites out there that track this stuff. And just a few notes from the Dolphins post-game notes. Sunday's win was the second straight by 20 or more points. It was the first time the Dolphins have had back-to-back wins in a single season by that margin since 1990, when the Dolphins beat the Colts 27-7 and the Cardinals 23-3 way back in 1990, 30 years ago. And since 2016, the Dolphins are now 21-14 at Hard Rock Stadium. This win was the fifth straight over the Jets at home, and it gives the Dolphins victories in 5 of the last 6 total games against the Jets, as well as 7 of the past 9 games. And the last time the Dolphins shut the Jets out was the AFC Championship game following the 1982 season, that 14-0 win in the Mud Bowl with A.J. Dewey and his 3 interceptions in that game. And the Dolphins now have 3 wins in their last 4 and 8 of their past 15 on balance here under coach Brian Flores. And holding the Jets to 148 net passing yards combined with last week's performance of 128 net passing yards allowed against the 49ers, this marks the first time since 2010 that the Dolphins have limited opponents to fewer than 150 net passing yards in consecutive games. It was the Titans and Bears back in 2010. One more fun note I love from this game, the Dolphins defense forced 6 punts and held the Jets to only 5 first downs in the opening half of the game. It's the first time the Dolphins have forced more punts than first downs allowed in the first half of a game since a 2017 win over the Tennessee Titans. As far as the individual metrics go here, quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick, we played this clip for you a couple times last week. He taught him talking about the experience and film study and years of accumulating this catalog of, in the back of his mind, things he really likes, ideas he can go to, things he trusts in terms of what he sees in a football field. And I really apply that to when the opposing defense likes to blitz Ryan Fitzpatrick, and the Jets did blitz him, and he cooked him up on those plays. He completed 5 of 8 passes for 43 yards, but 2 touchdowns against Jets blitzes. In the backfield, Myles Gaskin had his career high 126 yards from scrimmage. That was also the most yards from scrimmage from a Dolphins running back since Kenyon Drake had 193 against the Patriots back in 2017. Gaskin, right in that same neighborhood he's been all season long, 2.83 yards after contact, after the initial contact, and he has a season high 51 of those 91 rushing yards he had came after initial contact per Pro Football Focus. Adam Shaheen caught his second touchdown in as many games. He too had a career high with 51 receiving yards. Durham Smythe caught the first touchdown pass of his career in the second quarter of this game. Jakeem Grant caught all 4 of his targets for a season high 48 yards, and outside of two sacks on Ryan Fitzpatrick, Pro Football Focus did not charge any other quarterback hits to this Dolphins offensive line. Ted Karras had a pass protection shutout in their book on 32 snaps, no hurries, no hits, no sacks of the quarterback. Jesse Davis and Eric Flowers also both played 32 snaps. Davis allowed only one pressure per Pro Football Focus, a hurry, and Eric Flowers had two hurries allowed. So three pressures on 96 pass blocking reps there from your veteran Dolphins offensive lineman. Great work from Karras, Davis, as well as Eric Flowers, and the rookies too. The whole offensive line played well in this game. Collectively, the Dolphins charged with just 12 pressures on the day, and defensively, 29 pressures on the Jets quarterback in this game. Onto the defensive metrics here, Ogbah picks up a pair of sacks in this game, which brings his team lead to a total of 5 on the season. It was the first two-sack game for the Dolphins since both Cam Wake and Akeem Spence had two sacks in a 2018 home game against the New York Jets. Ogbah's 10 quarterback pressures are the most for a single player this season in the National Football League. It gives him 25 on the season and put him into 8th place among NFL edge defenders in that category on Pro Football Focus. He's also now tied for 12th among edge defenders with 11 run stops on the season. Christian Wilkins had his second sack of the season. He also made 3 more run stops. That gives him 13, which is tied for 7th among interior defensive linemen on Pro Football Focus. We talked about this on the Sunday show. Xavien Howard targeted 4 times, no catches allowed. Second straight game, the quarterbacks were 0 for 4 going to him on the season now. 46.2% completion rate from the quarterbacks going into his coverage area with a passer rating of 49. Slim pickings there for quarterbacks going up against X. Eric Rowe, the Dolphins' second highest graded defender from Pro Football Focus in the game. 10 total tackles, 2 run stops, 2 quarterback pressures, and he allows 1 receiving yard on 2 targets. He also had himself a PBU. Opposing quarterbacks are averaging 4.87 yards per pass when targeting Rowe this season per Pro Football Focus. Bobby McCain is PFF's 11th highest graded safety this season. Opposing quarterbacks have a 0.0 passer rating when targeting McCain. He picked up 2 quarterback pressures in this game as well as a pass breakup. We talked about Sam McGuavin a little bit on the Sunday show. Played a season-high 49 snaps, did not allow a catch, 0 for 1 throwing the football in his coverage area, and he also recorded 2 pressures on the day and had a run stop in the game. The snap counts offensively. As we know, for the first time this season, Ryan Fitzpatrick did not take 100% of the snaps. He played 51, that's 91%, with Tua Tagovailoa getting 5 snaps, good for 9% out of the game. At running back, it was Myles Gaskin's workload again, 39 snaps, good for 70%. Matt Breida had 16 snaps, and Patrick Laird had 6 snaps, with the fullback Chandler Cox playing 12 snaps in the game. Receiver Devontae Parker had 46 snaps, Preston Williams played 40, Jakeem Grant 20, and Isaiah Ford 18 snaps. Lynn Bowden played 5, and Mac Hollins had 3 on offense on Sunday. At tight end, Mike Gesicki played 37, Durham Smythe 19, Adam Shaheen 15, and on the offensive line, 4 guys went the distance, 56 snaps. That was Jesse Davis, Eric Flowers, Ted Karras, and Robert Hunt. Solomon Kinley missed 1 snap, playing 55 in the game, and Adam Pankey was out there for 4 snaps in the game. Defensively, Zach Sealer leads defensive interior linemen, defensive tackles, I should say, with 49 snaps. Christian Wilkins right behind him at 46 snaps. Raekwon Davis got the bump in place of injured Devon Godshaw. He played 26 snaps in the game, and Benito Jones makes his NFL debut with 8 snaps on Sunday. Defensive end Emmanuel Ogbah played 53. Shaq Lawson played 43. Jerome Baker did not leave the field on defense, 71 snaps in the game. Linebacker Sam McGuavin had 49. Alandon Roberts, 33. And then Kamu Grugia-Hill played 18. And Andrew Van Ginkel played 17 in the game. So good job of the Dolphins getting that linebacker rotation in there with both Grugia-Hill and Van Ginkel leaving at various points in the game. Byron Jones played 69 snaps. Nick Needham played 61. Xavien Howard had 60. And Noah Igbinoghene got out there for 13 snaps there in the second half. Jamal Perry played 1 snap on defense. And at safety, Eric Rowe never left the field, played all 71. Bobby McCain played all but 1 snap, 70 snaps on Sunday. Brandon Jones got 21 reps, and Clayton Fedulum and Kayvon Frazier both had 1 snap apiece on Sunday. And let's go ahead and stay on the defensive side of the football right here and hear from Dolphins defensive coordinator Josh Boyer, who touched on the idea of culture and how guys care for each other. They're excited for each other to make a play. He really expanded on that thought here. Let's go ahead and hear from the Dolphins defensive coordinator Josh Boyer.
Well, I think, you know, obviously, Coach Flores' background and my background are very similar, and I would say that the teams that we've been on that have been good have all had that good chemistry. And I think what you do is it starts with guys that are fiercely competitive. They're selfless guys. They put the team first. And when you get a group of guys that can do that, and, you know, and I know I've said this before, and I mean, obviously this in my quote has been said time and time again, it's amazing what you can accomplish when nobody cares who gets the credit for it. And I think, you know, when players buy into that, when coaches buy into that, you know, you have the opportunity to become, you know, better than what you could be. And I think when you got a group of guys working together and everybody's on the same page, you know, you start to see, you know, just genuine care. And obviously, you know, we all spend more time in the building than we do with our own families during the season. And, you know, one, that's a credit to our families, you know, that they can handle that. And two, it's, you know, you just build a strong bond. And when you got the right type of guys that do that, that genuinely care about one another, you have a tendency to play a little bit better because you really care about the guy that's next to you, or you really care about the guy that's out there on offense, or you really care about the guy that's out there in the kicking game. And like I said, I think Chris and Flo have done a great job of bringing those type of guys in the building.
Highly recommend going and checking out Josh Boyer's entire press conference. Plenty of good stuff in there about the shutout, who reached out to him after the shutout, a comparison to Bill Arnsparger. Plenty of good content there, as always, from Coach Boyer. Up next, we're going to hear from Coach Danny Crossman, the special teams coordinator, and why Jason Sanders has been so good this year and how they approach it going forward.
To your point, you know, no, it's not like a, you know, like you got a no-hitter or something going. You know, every kick's a new kick. So in practice, in the game, things that, you know, we don't talk about him, whether they're, you know, in practice or the game, whether he's made, don't want to talk about last kick is a miss. But, you know, it's always the same communication, you know, talking about the rhythm and the footwork and the mental space of where we want to be. And then you just let the kick go and see what happens. But, again, just like we talked about basically every week, you know, he's in a good place right now, working hard, and hopefully we can continue that.
Up next, we'll hear from Dolphins offensive coordinator Chan Gailey, and you might look at the box score and see new guys popping up with catches and yards and touchdowns every single week. So I had a chance to ask Chan, is that a good problem to have,
and
how do you approach having all these players on the offensive side that you can throw the football to with all the options at the skill positions for Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Like you said, the good thing is we have some good players that we can get the ball to. And the other good thing about that is now they can't focus on one guy. So they know that we have several options out there and that we're not afraid to throw it to any of them, and they can all be productive. So that's a good thing. Do I wish that we could get the ball more to each one of them? Probably so. Is there a better way to get it done? That's what we're trying to evaluate right now. We're trying to evaluate what we need to do better in order to be a more successful and a more consistent offense.
And one of those Dolphins weapons has been running back Miles Gaskin, who had a career-high 126 yards from scrimmage. Let's go ahead and let Coach Studisville explain why Miles Gaskin's had success and what he's most impressed about with the second-year running back.
His humility and that how he's approaching, you know, the success that he's having a little bit. I mean, I think with every day he gets stronger, he gets better as a player in what he's doing, but you don't see him change. He hasn't changed since he walked in here last year. He's a studied person. He's intensely competitive. He wants to be good. He's highly focused, and he's going to give you everything he has. And I don't think any of that's changed. And so I think to see him having some success now and not change fundamentally who he is and what he's about and his character, I think is a strong message on who he is. And that's why you cheer for a young guy like this and hope that things just get better and better for him.
And the next question was a follow-up again about Gaskin.
Well, as far as the draft process, that's the personnel department. Chris and those guys make those decisions. My job is to coach the guys they put in the room. And we found a fantastic young man. I mean, you see that when we interviewed him at the combine, you liked him, his personality, his intensity, his focus in that short time that we had together. But being around him, I just like how he was, how he carried himself, what his demeanor. I think we're seeing the same exact thing every day when he walks in this building. So you love being around him.
Let's go ahead and hear from Dolphins offensive line coach Steve Marshall. Man, what a job this offensive line has done so far through the first six games. I had a chance to ask coach about Ted Karras and the pass protection communication and what he's meant for the offensive line as the anchor, the center, the captain in the middle of that Dolphins offensive line.
Well, Ted's been schooled well, in his previous employment, and Ted has a great understanding of what defenses are trying to do and where the safeties are located and where the pressure points are and things like that. And every week, Ted is a consummate pro. He does run the ship up there, so to speak, as Chan mentioned, and him and Fitz get together and we have our meetings. Here's what we think's going to happen. But Fitz, he's seen it all. There's nothing Fitz hadn't seen. And Ted's getting to that point in his career where he can help me and help us offense and our staff wise help. Okay, I see this guy doing this or this thing happening. I see this safety rocking. I hear this call. Ted has been a great asset to all those guys up front, and he does drive the ship, and not only in the pass game, but in the run game as far as helping where that is. So, yeah, Ted deserves a lot of credit, he's a worker, and he's a true pro. That's what a pro center does, and he certainly is. It fits that mold.
Let's move on next here to Dolphins wide receivers coach Josh Grizzard, and I first asked him about Preston Williams' touchdown reception, working on that outside leverage crossing face. Wanted to hear him break that route down for us. Here's coach on Preston Williams' touchdown catch.
Yeah, Preston did a good job on that play, just kind of taking some things we've talked about over the last couple weeks, techniques that the defender uses, and how we can try to set up some things, not only that we've done in the past, but the way that they play it in order to take advantage of a look. And kudos to him, because he ran a hell of a route, and being on the same page with Fitz, it's good to see that practice execution becoming game reality, and nice play. Nice celebration, too.
Speaking of celebrations, nothing topped Mike Gesicki going crazy for Durham Smythe's touchdown in the game on Sunday. Go ahead and finish up here with tight ends coach George Godsey and his evaluation of Durham Smythe and Adam Shaheen so far, and why everybody got so excited with Durham Smythe catching that touchdown pass because of how important he is and how much he does for this team that people don't talk about, especially in that tight end room.
Well, Durham, you know, he's been a big part of our club, you know, for the last 2 years that I've been here, just in the run game and from a leadership standpoint in that room. So, you know, all blocking and little catching a rock. But when he was able to catch a rock for a touchdown, I think, it kind of excited that room, just because we know how much he means to, both the O-line as far as like being a part of them, and then the run game. Being the physical player in the tight end room. And then, Adams had some success in this league, kind of like what I talked about in training camp. You know, this guy's caught touchdowns before, just kind of, hit point in his career where maybe he ran through a couple injuries. But obviously, he's showed up here the last couple weeks, and he's doing a good job, too, in the run game. So we're pretty tight-knit group in that room. And, it's good to see each other succeed.
All right, there you have it. Lengthy episode here with plenty of good nuggets on the Dolphins' shutout of the New York Jets. We heard from all of the offensive assistants and the coordinators and talked about some stats. We have a different schedule coming up this week. We'll be with you guys tomorrow for a regular podcast. We'll have an Emmanuel Ogbah feature. You do not want to miss that one. We'll be back on Friday for a crossover episode. Going to work between the Fish Tank and the Audible podcast and kind of review the season so far. Look ahead to the next 10 games for your Miami Dolphins. Plenty of content to come up on MiamiDolphins.com as well. In the meantime, you all please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. Go ahead and give me a follow on Twitter. It's at WingfulNFL. You can follow the team at Miami Dolphins. Again, check out the Fish Tank podcast, Greg Camarillo on there today. Also the Audible with Bo and John, and of course, MiamiDolphins.com. Until next time, fins up.